Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online at wdiy.org. Today is January 28, 2015. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 17,191, the NASDAQ at 4638, and the S&P at 2002. Last week, we talked about getting ready for tax season. Tonight, I have as a guest, attorney Gladys Wiles of Snyder & Wiles. We will talk about a potpourri of legal considerations in your daily life. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. We will do our best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. A native of the Lehigh Valley, Attorney Wiles received her JD from the Thomas M. Cooley School of Law, cum laude, at BA from Muhlenberg College and an MA from Lehigh University. She's a member of the Pennsylvania Bar Association and Lehigh County Bar Association. Attorney Wiles is committed to the community through mentoring and serving on several boards. Her awards include 2014 Lehigh Valley Woman of Influence, Lehigh Valley Business, 2012 Volunteer of the Year, YWCA of Bethlehem, and 2009 Recognition for Excellence Stewart title. There's probably lots more for me to say about Gladys, but I had to whittle it down. So Gladys, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. Okay. I'm excited.
I am too. Gladys has great energy, folks. So for people who can't see her because you're listening, you could always go to her website, which I'll have to ask her. What's your website?
It is SnyderWilesLaw.com.
SnyderWilesLaw.com. To see the energy that this woman gives off. It's great energy. So I had to throw that in there so you can imagine as we're listening through the show. Tell us a little bit about how you started in the profession.
Well, I'm one of those people that I think if you asked me when I was 5, 10, or 12, what did you want to do when you grew up? I always said I wanted to be an attorney. So that dream came true, and I've been doing this for 16 years now, and it still gets better every day. I love it.
That's great. Well, because in that profession, you get to learn something new every day. So I bet you were quite the inquisitive child, probably.
No doubt.
So this is your first time on the show, and so I thought by way of introducing you, we would give an overview of legal issues that many of our listeners may encounter over the course of their lives that you see regularly in your practice. So quite often, I will have attorneys on to discuss estate planning and what to watch out for in the way of documents. And we might touch on some of that tonight. It depends on how much time we have. But I'd also like to cover some of those areas that I've not really covered on previous shows. So on your website, you mentioned real estate, personal injury, divorce, and business law, amongst others. So let's start with real estate, and then I thought we could move into some business law, then personal injury. If we have time, we'll move into estate planning. So many of us enter into real estate transactions when we buy or sell a home or an investment property. So can you set the stage for us in relation to legal considerations around real estate? Because I think that's an area that, that many of us end up experiencing at some point in our life.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about it, a real estate investment is the largest purchase any person, family, couple may make over their lifetime. And for many, it's probably their largest asset, holding in real estate. So at our office, you know, we take an overview of all aspects of your life, and that's what we look at. So it's from day one when you get married to the end of life in terms of the assistance that we provide from a legal perspective. So with regard to real estate, you know, we see a lot of this, and we assist our clients from contract to closing. So when someone is purchasing, it's a good idea to have some assistance right out of the gate there to be able to have your contract reviewed and do various things. So to set the stage in terms of that, it's really important in any type of real estate investing that you're looking at to have, you know, somebody in your corner.
Well, quite often, and I have to tell you, Gladys, from I've entered into a couple of real estate transactions. We bought our first home and our second home. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful realtor help us through that. Right. And I had not thought about having an attorney, even though at the time I worked for attorneys. But I hadn't thought of that. So can you kind of give us some guidance on when it might make sense to engage an attorney? I mean, your natural reaction might be, well, every time, because you never know what you're going to what you're going to be exposed to. But can you kind of give us some guidance when people are entering into, let's say, the simplest of it's not always simple, but buying their first home or their second home or their third home. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily an investment. Right. It's like their principal residence.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, legal issues are not DIY. It's not do it yourself. And you shouldn't try to do it yourself. There's a lot of complexities that come up with legal issues, particularly in the real estate world. So what we do for our clients, I mean, any contract that you see that a realtor may provide to you or that even an attorney drafts has a 3-day review, an attorney review in there. So as the buyer, it's always a great idea to have your attorney review it for you. Again, it being the largest investment that you may be making in your lifetime, why have it cost you thousands of dollars or potentially the loss of a home from the beginning? So to have contracts reviewed is always a great idea to do. Once you start that process, then any attorney that provides real estate work will assist you from out of the gate through what's called the title process as well, because at that point we got to ensure that what you're getting is free and clear of any and all liens and judgments. And so you want to make sure that nobody's going to claim a stake to your house later on and say, this is mine, or it was part of a divorce and we never signed off. So we ensure at our law firm that we clear the title for you. So when you buy this home, it's really your home and there shouldn't be any issues that creep up in the future with regard to that process that you just went through, preserving that investment.
Okay. So we're going to be coming up on our first break, but I think I want to go back just for a moment about clearing title and why that would be important, just a little bit more mm-hmm. in depth on that.
Sure.
And then I also want to talk about the difference between a real estate contract when someone may be buying their principal residence versus an investment property, if there is any difference, mm-hmm. And the legal ramifications or the extra layer of protection a legal review would, could provide to someone.
Yeah,
so when we come back from our next break, we're going to continue our discussion on really legal aspects across all areas of your life. We're talking with attorney Gladys Wiles from Snyders and Wiles and in Fogelsville, I believe, even though you're not just to Fogelsville, but that's where your office happens
right.
to be. So if you have questions this evening, folks, you can give us a call at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets, on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Join us for WDIY's Member Appreciation Night on Saturday, February 7th from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Flatiron Building in South Bethlehem. Celebrate WDIY's 20th anniversary with music from the PA Jazz Collective and Mike Mattaglia and Midnight Shift. Tickets are $10 and only open to WDIY members. For tickets and information, call 610-694-8100, extension 4.
And we are back with Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Attorney Gladys Wiles. We are discussing legal considerations in your daily life. You had another phrase for it.
Well, we're attorneys for all aspects of your life.
That's how we practice at our firm. Okay, so we're kind of giving an overview of tonight of some of the legal considerations someone may need that they might not have suspected or thought they needed. And one of those areas that we're starting with, we're going to go through the show, we're also going to talk about maybe some business law and personal injury, but we're starting with real estate. And one of the examples or questions I had is, so often we go into a real estate transaction for a principal residence and we think we don't need an attorney. But there are aspects and times where we really might, and why not? Because you said this is one of our biggest purchases. So the comment came up right before the break about title. Can you just give a quick example of why it's important to make sure that the title is clear?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we don't live in a perfect world. People get divorced. People have judgments against them. Various things happen. There's also foreclosures that take place. So when we're clearing the title, we're ensuring that, one, the foreclosure process, if that's the type of home that you're buying from a bank, that it was done properly. Because if it wasn't done properly, then really the bank has no authority to transfer that title to you, so you don't own it. With regards to divorces, I mean, we got to make sure that all the paperwork is properly filed and that everyone has authority to sign the proper documents and that the people that have to sign are actually signing. Otherwise, again, you don't get the house that you think you're buying. Similarly with judgments, you know, there's liens out there, there's judgments against people that may or may not attach the property, and we need to clear that for you. So again, what you're getting is the house that you bargained for in that contract, and it's really yours at the day that you sign that paperwork and pay over that check.
Okay, and that's on the, we were just kind of referring to the buy side. And the sell side, do you work on the sell side as well?
Absolutely, we do. And on the sell side, I mean, there are similar issues, but then there are also different issues. And it depends on how you own the real estate and the purposes of why you're selling it, and clearing those for purposes of the seller to ensure that, again, what they're transferring over, they have the legal authority to transfer to the buyer, and that it's a bona fide arm's length transaction.
Okay. All right. Real quick, Gladys, let me interject here. We had a caller call in, and they asked a tax question. So it's a fairly quick question. They just mentioned that they thought January 20th was the deadline for banks to send interest information. Is that true? And what is the date? Well, caller, what it is the IRS says January 31st is the date that the 1099s have to be issued, and then they're mailed out after that. That is the typical date. Several years ago, the IRS allowed certain mutual fund companies, brokerage firms, to delay some of the reporting, because what was happening on things like dividends, they would have to be corrected because sometimes not all the information was available by the January 31st filing time period. So they gave them extensions. So sometimes I would expect that you would get your bank interest statements, because that's fairly easy. That's cash bank interest. I expect those would be mailed out by January 31st. So you might get them February, you know, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th or something. Some folks who have brokerage accounts may not get those till later in February. It depends on when the mutual fund companies or custodians get that information calculated to avoid having to send corrected ones. All right. So thank you for calling. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can call live with your questions. We have attorney Gladys Wiles in the studio to answer questions about our topic tonight. You can also call in and give your question to Judy Ann, as our last caller did. And again, the number is 610-758-8810. Let's move on from real estate. In typical, my first question was basically about around principal residences. Mm-hmm. What are some of the additional factors? Because I, you know, would think it is really important when we're entering into an investment property, because there could be environmental issues or whatever. So talk to me a little bit about some of the legal considerations folks would have if they're thinking about buying that apartment building or that duplex or that plot of land that seems to be a good deal. So what are the legal ramifications of that?
Let me start even a little more basic, Lori. And there is a big difference in terms of whether or not you're buying it for investment purposes or if it's a principal place of residence for you. And the basic premise there is how are we titling it? If it's investment purposes, it may not be the best idea to title it, you know, as husband and wife or as an individual. At that point, we would certainly be consulting with your CPA or your accountant to determine what is the best tax structure for you. And we may be looking at something like an LLC to title an investment property. With regard to principal place of residence, ideally in Pennsylvania for couples, it would be to take it as tenants by the entireties, which gives you a whole third entity where your individual creditors cannot attach to the property unless it's the IRS, because they always have a super lien. So titling is really an important factor. And when we go through, you know, the intake with our clients, it's good to have an understanding as to what the purpose is and what they plan on doing with it. And at that point, we address the basic issue, which is how do we title it? So once you get to that point, when you're dealing with investment property, you gotta determine what issues are out there, what you're looking at, what the potential risks are to you as the buyer and then the owner. And ideally, insurance comes into play, and that's a big factor because now you're increasing your assets, you're adding your liability. Multi-unit complexes, you know, you always run the risk that somebody may get injured or something may happen. So insurance is a big factor. So one, we shelter with the creation of a separate entity for ownership. And then two, we assist you with making sure that you have enough coverage on the insurance end to cover any of those potential risks that may occur.
And then how about identifying, and maybe it doesn't go this far, I don't know, when you hear about environmental problems, you know, it's a dump site or that someone has an oil tank under the ground. There may not be ways to always know if that is there. What is involved?
Sellers' disclosures are really important. And you know, a seller can potentially be liable for damages and costs if they do not disclose all the information that they know with regard to a property. Sometimes they don't know. That happens. You run the risk. But with regard to investment properties, I mean, we build in a due diligence period for our clients where they can examine, get any phase one, phase two environmental studies that they need done to ensure and allay any of their fears of any of these potential risks that could creep up.
Okay. And some of these purchases can be done individually. You had also mentioned when you're looking at titling, if it's for an investment purposes, possibly an LLC. So I want to, when we come back from our next break, continue the discussion as to entities. What are the ramifications for businesses? And let's put that layer on as well. So, so many legal issues. And the other thing that happens, Gladys, so many people these days do real estate investments on the side. And it's how they're going to structure that
they
as well. So, folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have with me in the studio this evening, attorney Gladys Wiles. We're talking about legal help for every aspect of your life and your financial life in particular tonight. And as a matter of fact, Gladys, we had a call come in from Bill. Thank you for calling in, Bill. He asked the question, my wife recently passed away. Sorry about that, Bill. And he received some money from life insurance. Mm-hmm. And he's asking, do I have to pay any federal or Pennsylvania state tax on that?
Bill, I'm sorry for your loss. But this is a great question that you bring up and something that we encounter very often with our clients that we assist in the probate process. With regard to life insurance, that transfers inheritance tax-free. So you would not have any Pennsylvania tax on it. The only way that there would be a federal issue is if it's in excess of the $5 million. But if you're under that amount, that you shouldn't have any inheritance tax whatsoever on either of these. But in addition to that, as the spouse, it's always a zero tax in Pennsylvania for Pennsylvania inheritance tax purposes. So any assets that would transfer to you, inclusive of the life insurance, would be at a zero inheritance tax.
So zero inheritance tax, zero federal estate tax, Bill. And for income tax, it's also not subject to income tax. Occasionally, what you might see is if someone takes some period of time before they process a claim, there may be interest earned on the death benefit if time has passed. So occasionally, you'll see a 1099 for a little bit of interest on a life insurance claim, but otherwise it's not subject to income tax either, so or inheritance tax. So that's nice. It's a nice benefit.
Sure,
for folks.
It's a great mechanism.
Yeah. So thank you for calling, Bill. If you have any questions this evening, folks, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I hope as we get to the end of the show too that we have a little bit more time to come back to some estate questions that popped up in my head as we just had that call. So we were talking about real estate. Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a minute about businesses, because you do have some business law, and this is an overview. So we mentioned LLC. Some people are getting into investment properties. They may also be deciding to do this with a couple buddies, a couple gals.
Sure.
So let's talk for a minute about business entities. Mm-hmm. What kind of overview can you give us on your business law?
Well, let me use as the example the real estate investor. So if, you know, you and a friend are looking at some real estate investment properties and you want to buy them together, again, the most basic is, one, how are we titling? How are you taking this? And are we thinking that if something happens to one of you, your estate is going to inherit, or a spouse is going to step in, or a partner is going to step in, or a child? Determining that from the onset really kind of gives us an outline of how we move forward. And then the next step would be is what is the best structure to protect for liability? Now, as I said, you know, we work hand in hand with, you know, CFPs, with financial planners, with CPAs for all of our clients to try and get the best overall outlook so that we can give them the best structure in place that is going to assist them on a liability point of view and then also from a tax point of view as well. So depending on what the needs are and what the tax consequences may potentially be, that'll certainly drive the determination as to what the structure, the entity structure, will be. I mean, in this case, what we've been seeing is LLCs seem to be the flavor of the month, you know, mm-hmm. and that's usually what we're getting recommendations to create for our clients from their CPAs. So that's been done. And then the second step is, now, how do we deal with all those other issues? So how are we dealing with what happens if you don't want to own this anymore, or one partner wants out, or somebody dies, or somebody becomes incapacitated, or even goes into bankruptcy? And then we deal with that with either the operating agreements or the shareholder agreements or the partnership agreements. So this is, you know, a long process that from, again, all aspects of your life. So depending mm-hmm. on where you see your future, you know, we can certainly draft to create all of those things that you envision happening. And then, you know, as attorneys, we have to be creative and come up with things that you may not be thinking about that we need to protect you from.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Judy Ann and I actually were talking today, and she said, what are some of the best questions you get? And I said, the questions that people forget to ask.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because it's what people don't know
sure.
to ask.
That's right.
Is where a lot of the exposure kind of happens.
So it's our job to educate and ensure that they know and they can make an informed decision. Decision and kind of outline all of the things that may potentially happen and protect them from.
You'd be surprised, Gladys, how often, you know, I'll have someone come in and they say they have a partnership. I said, well, do you have a partnership agreement? They're like, they don't yeah. know. They're not sure. I said, do you have some kind of operating agreement right. for this entity or whatever? Right. And it's
amazing.
It's shocking.
It's amazing.
And why it's important, it's the same reason we talk to people about why estate planning is so important.
That's
and
right.
having your estate planning documents, because you want to take care of these things when you have the ability and the capacity
sure.
and the wherewithal mm-hmm. to take care of these mm-hmm. issues. Because when you talk about entities and if what happens in a divorce, what happens if someone dies, if you have a partnership or some mm-hmm. S corp or something and you haven't thought that through,
right.
there's yeah. bigger issues, right?
Well, absolutely. And you have the opportunity and the ability to determine how you want it to end and where you want it to go. Why leave it to someone else to decide?
Right. And one of the, when you said you have an intake process, mm-hmm. part of that is giving you the ability to help them follow those threads,
that's right?
I say
right.
it's following the threads, because we start with this great relationship we have today. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if something happens
sure.
to the relationship?
That's right.
And I tell people sometimes, I grew up, my mother always said, you could be gone tomorrow. So I say it sounds a little morbid, but at the same time, it makes us always kind of plan yeah. for all of these different circumstances
right.
and situations. And I feel if you plan for it, then 9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. it might not be a problem. You know,
that's right.
You say, oh, gosh, I didn't need to do anything. But if you hadn't, for sure, something would have happened.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Now, I if we can talk for just a moment about LLCs, because, again, thinking about kind of questions that people ask, quite often people will say, oh, well, I have a corporation. And I'll say, well, tell me about it. And they'll say, well, I have an LLC. And I'll say, well, an LLC isn't necessarily a corporation. An LLC is a limited liability company
right.
that actually can have any number of, you might have the legal term for it, but any number of,
well, you can you determine know, how
you
want to be taxed.
It could be a sole proprietor,
right.
it could be a partnership,
right.
it could be an S corp. So right. that LLC, though, is providing folks with some protections, but it may not be all the protections they want,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's not just buy in a box an LLC, which
right.
I think you have heard about.
Absolutely.
You know, people think they can just go apply, you know, have them.
That's why I said, you know, the legal world is not a DIY. It's not do it yourself.
Even though we're on DIY. Definitely
DIY.
It's you here.
That's right.
Okay, so lots of good kind of awareness around business law will mm-hmm. Cover a little bit more as we come back from our break.
Sure.
We're getting ready for our next break. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8255. 8810. You can call and talk live on air with us or off air. Give your question to Judy Ann. She'll bring it into the studio, but we'll take live calls as well. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. If it's for Gladys, I can shoot it over to her if we can't get to it tonight. So I do have in the studio with me this evening Gladys Wiles, attorney with Snyder and Wiles, and we are talking about legal issues for every aspect of your life, and I like to add every aspect of your financial life. We'll be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for being here this evening with us. I appreciate it. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening attorney Gladys Wiles. We're discussing legal considerations for every aspect of your life. And we're getting kind of an overview. Some of the legal issues that you don't always realize it could really make a difference in getting good, sound legal advice versus trying to do it yourself. There's reasons we have attorneys. So we were talking a little bit about even transactions such as buying your first home, buying investment properties, setting up a business. And right before the break, we talked a little bit about business structure, which I want to go back to before we talk about some of the personal injury aspects available. So the phone number again, folks, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. So business structure. You help folks write up those agreements?
We do. We do. We draft contracts. We create entities. We, in fact, even litigate.
Okay.
You know, so if, you know, you're having a problem with that contract, you know, we're there to litigate as well, which happens.
Okay. And there's filings with the state that have to be done.
Absolutely.
Sometimes. So you help with that.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's great. And then what about the business structure? Do you also help in decide? I guess you said you're working with CPAs and financial advisors as well to kind of work with the business structure.
Yeah, that's a decision that can't be made in a vacuum. I mean, that cannot just be made between you and your attorney. We really have to consult your entire team. And your team is not just your attorney. You know, people that are investing this type of money to buy large real estate holdings, you know, have CPAs, have financial planners in place, and we need to have that discussion, you know, with them so that everybody's on the same page, because you can't do this in a vacuum.
Well,
all aspects of your life.
Yeah, you know? Right. And one of the things that comes up quite often with folks who come in who are just starting off on a business, sometimes they'll say, maybe initially, until you see if this business gets going, you know, there's nothing wrong with a sole proprietor either. Someone who might, well, again, there could be legal aspects for that too. You make sure you have your insurance, your umbrella insurance. I got to be careful when I have an attorney on the air. But, sometimes we don't know if the business is going to last. So many people will start off in maybe some little business. They have a great idea and they don't know what's going to happen with it. So they may have started as a sole proprietor. I've seen folks who then maybe have a partnership. The other thing they need to plan for is what's going to be the evolution of this business, because a partnership could end up turning into an S-corp. So just because you pick one business structure to start with doesn't mean that you can't change it or let it evolve as your business evolves.
That's absolutely right.
And there are different aspects of each of those kinds of entities that may have better benefits depending on what kind of income you end up generating, if you plan on having employees or not. What is the business itself? Is there additional exposure that you might need more liability protection?
And whether or not your business owns the real estate that you operate out of, you know, and then that's an additional consideration, because the business is not going to own that real estate if you come to me. It's going to be another entity that owns that real estate, because now we have two things to protect for you.
Yeah. So it can get a little complicated. That's why it's good to follow all those threads. We had a question come in. John called in and he said, if a person inherits $25,000, for example, and they have a 401k plan with an employer match of 40%, usually that's like, we'll ignore that for now. Would it make sense to live off the inheritance and max out the contribution into the 401k? The pros and cons to that strategy. He's over 50. The caller's over 50, so he can put $23,000 into a 401k and the match. Okay, John, let me take this question, Gladys, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So what happens is, the caller has said, John has said that he has inherited some amount of money and he has a 401k with an employer and he gets a match. And would it make sense to live off the inheritance and max out the contributions into the 401k? Basically, John, what you're talking about is kind of a little bit of just a shift in the income. And I actually have suggested this to people. And let me see if I can kind of explain it a little bit simpler, maybe. And I'm going to use a different numbers. Let's pretend you inherit $100,000 and you have that in a bank account or a savings account, and you have an employer retirement plan at work, and maybe you have not been putting money into it because you have never had enough money to put into it, or you have not been putting in the maximum amount that you could have put into it. So one of the strategies would be to say, okay, now my paycheck, if I put more money into my 401k, I get that employer match. That's great. You always want that free money as long as you have, you know, cash flow and no debts and all that. So you love free money. So you want to put money into the 401k to get the match. And then because you're putting more money into the 401k, your paycheck goes down a little bit, so you don't have as much money to live on. And so in your example, you're saying, should you live on the inheritance? Well, that is a good shift in income, if you ask me. If you previously had not been putting money into a 401k and now you can get a match, yes, in essence, you replace your paycheck with a little bit from the inheritance. Did I explain that okay, Gladys?
Absolutely. And what I would add for John is just make sure that your beneficiary designations are all in place and up to date, and that you have a will.
There you go. Because now that you're saving, John, you want to make sure that's
right.
All. And follow the threads, because it's not just your primary beneficiaries, it's your contingent beneficiaries.
Right.
You want to follow it all. So, you know, the caution I always have for folks who receive an inheritance is not to get so excited and spend it all away. The other issues sometimes that comes up, John, is maybe you've not inherited cash, but maybe you inherited an IRA. So you have to be careful when you inherit something that could be income taxable to you. If you take $100,000 of your inherited IRA out of the account, you're going to have tax on $100,000. So just be careful. This is the point of the show where I like to caution people on, I only have the circumstances that were kind of told in the question over the phone. It may not all apply to you, so make sure you get advice separate on this issue as well. All right. So we are talking in the studio with attorney Gladys Wiles. We're talking about legal considerations for every aspect of your life. We've gone through kind of the legal considerations in real estate investments, whether they're private principal residence investment property, whether they're with a spouse, what kind of business entity do you have, how are they titled. We've talked about setting up a business and getting the proper agreements, partnership agreements, operating agreements, articles of incorporation. There's even things like minutes for corporate meetings. You want to make sure you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing and picking the best business structure that works for you with the circumstances that you have. Now, we talked about exposure a little bit to lawsuits, and that's where you had said about the layering of, you know, maybe an LLC and,
right,
you know, a business has a partnership and different levels. Mm-hmm. We also have to worry about, when we're talking about business structures, depending on what kind of business we have, what kind of exposure we might have, in my mind, as to any liability. Could someone sue us for something we've done? I mean, if my business is I'm consulting and I'm sitting at my desk, you might not think about, you know, someone tripping and falling on your steps if you're a restaurant. But even someone who's sitting doing work in their office, if they're a consultant, if they give bad advice to a client, they could have exposure as well. So let's talk a little bit about someone who has been been injured now. So, you know, I have a business, someone falls on the steps in front of my office. What kind of liability might we have? And then segue that into what could the person who fell have?
Absolutely.
What should they be doing? What are their rights?
Sure. I mean, you know, at our practice, we are a plaintiff's firm as well in terms of the personal injury that we do, but we represent so many businesses that we do a lot of defense work as well on the liability aspect of it. So as a business owner, I mean, you know, it comes back to, again, insurance is such an important aspect of your entire business plan, and you got to make sure that you have those insurances in place, whether it be, you know, general casualty and liability insurance for the property itself, or even workers' comp insurance, because if you have employees, you got to have that in place. Anything can happen. I mean, look at the weather that we've been getting.
Yeah.
You know, slip and falls are common these days, and you have to ensure that you comply with what you need to do in the particular municipality or township that your business is located in, so that you can make sure that people are not going to slip and fall. And if they do, you got to make sure that you have that insurance in place as well to protect you. And with that, you know, insurance carriers provide you with defense counsel when you've been sued under general casualty and liability insurance. So, you know, that's a good thing to review on an annual basis with your insurance agent to make sure that you have those things in place. Also, you need to educate yourself as to what exclusions are in your policy. I can tell you, you would be shocked at how many contractors get sued because they did some type of construction on a property or an entity, and then they discover that they have no insurance coverage because there's some exclusion in their policy based on either the workmanship or the completed operations exclusion that's part of their policy. And they're kind of just hanging out there in the wind, like, what do I do now? So you have to educate yourself. You got to ask questions. You got to make sure that you review these things on an annual basis to know that you're covered from, as a business owner, for anything that may potentially happen on your property.
And is it also important to make sure that you've titled the insurance in the, like, the business name versus personally?
Well, it depends on the entity structure and what you're doing. There may be circumstances where you need to be a named insured individually on that policy, you know, as well. And that may not be a bad idea. So depending on how you have it structured, who owns the real estate, who operates the business, if you have a triple net lease, who's paying for it? Do you have an outside company plowing for you? You know, is there indemnity provisions with that contract as well? So a lot goes into this. You know, we just want to educate our clients to make sure that they're looking out for everything that may potentially happen.
Okay, folks, so it's more than just looking at the titling and the entity structure that you have, but it's also making sure that you have the proper insurance coverage, et cetera, in case, you know, you're exposed in some way, whether it is a slip and fall or some other type of, you know, incident that occurs by some contribution of your effort. We did have a caller question come in from the website. Carolyn wrote in, my husband has an S Corp set up. It is just him working in the business, no employees. Would there be an advantage to him having an LLC instead?
Well, Carolyn, you hate to hear this answer, but it depends.
Right.
It depends on a lot of things and a number of factors. I mean, just based on those facts, it's difficult to tell you which corporate structure would be better for your husband's business. You know, I have a lot of clients that have S-Corps and don't have any employees at all, but there's certain reasons as to why the S-Corp works better for them. And, you know, other circumstances are there's certain reasons as to why an LLC would be structured better. So with just that limited set of facts, it's really difficult to determine which would be better. And that certainly would be a conversation that you would have to have with your attorney and also with your accountant to determine as to why one would be better than the other.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so we're coming up on our next break, and then we will end out the show in the last quarter hour. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can call live on air or off air or through the website. Phone number 610-758-8810 and yourfinancialchoices.com as well. Talk to you in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY Allentown, and you're tuned to Community NPR Radio in the Lehigh Valley. Your financial choices, a quick look at Lehigh Valley weather. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 7. Thursday, a chance of snow, mainly after 4, with increasing clouds with a high near 29. And in the afternoon, there's a chance of precipitation around 40%, with new snow accumulation of less than a half an inch possible. And then Thursday night, snow, mainly after 7 p.m. with low around 26, and new snow accumulation could be around 1 to 2 inches. This is WDIY.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening attorney Gladys Wiles. We're talking about legal considerations for every aspect of your life. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We had Bill call again and leave us a message. Interesting that no one's brave enough to call and talk live on air tonight. But we love that you have sent in questions, folks, and have called in and given them to Judy Ann. We really appreciate it. But Bill had called, and Bill had asked earlier about whether or not in life insurance was taxable, and we explained that it wasn't. But he's a follow-up question. He said, since his wife has passed away, is there any advantage or necessity to changing the names on the deed? And I assume it's to their home, probably their principal residence. They must have owned it jointly. So is there any necessity or advantage to changing the name on the deed or to cars?
Okay.
And then what is the cost?
Sure. Bill, thanks for calling back again. I feel like we're having a personal conversation here. This is great.
I like Bill.
With regard to the deed, Bill, I'm running under the assumption that you were married at the time that you bought this with your wife. So you would have purchased the property at what we call tenants by the entireties, which is husband and wife. So you do not need to change the deed at all and remove your wife's name, because by operation of law, upon her death, you would become the owner of the real estate, and a deed change is not necessary at all. With regard to the cars, I mean, that's a little different issue. It depends on whether the car or cars were in your wife's name alone. If that's the case, then certainly it would behoove you to go down to the local notary that does changes for PennDOT and have the cars transferred into your name. If it was a jointly owned car, my recommendation would be to do it as well, just so you have it. It just makes it easier to sell later. And with regard to your home, just preserve a copy of your wife's death certificate, and if you did probate, the short certificate, so you have it, because when you go to sell, you have to show those to any title company that's issuing title to ensure that everything was done correctly and the buyer is getting the home that they've negotiated to buy from you, so there aren't any outstanding issues.
Now, is it specific to Pennsylvania for the car that they can go transfer? Husband and wife can go do that kind of transfer?
That's an easy process, yes. Okay. It is an easy process in Pennsylvania.
Okay. And, you know, sometimes they can go to a AAA or something like that, or
absolutely,
maybe John Yerkonic.
Or John Yerkonic offices.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bill, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Folks, if you have questions, we have probably time for maybe one more. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So before our last break, we were talking a little bit about personal injury. We were talking about the businesses protecting themselves. What if I'm the individual who's
injured?
Yeah, who's injured? What do I need to pay attention to? And you know, maybe I don't want to sue. I feel like, gosh, you know, I'm a nice person. I don't want to sue.
Yeah.
Well, and then I find out 6 months later, maybe something happened. So give us some kind of guidelines.
Sometimes you don't have to. I mean, the statute of limitations for personal injury cases in Pennsylvania is 2 years for the most part. So, you know, you have 2 years really to determine whether or not the injuries are serious enough that you have to take the next step. But given that fact, I mean, you know, people incur medical costs when they're injured. And depending on those medical costs, you know, you may need to recoup them from somebody else. So if you slip and fall, for instance, on somebody's property, and it was because of their negligence and you have these injuries, they have property and casualty insurance. And typically the property and casualty insurance then would be the first line of negotiations for an attorney when they're representing you in terms of, one, determining what your injuries are, determining what your out-of-pocket costs are, or wage losses, or whatever the case may be. You know, we have to do an analysis of your damages and pain and suffering. And then the insurance carrier would be the entity that we would deal with directly.
So it doesn't always mean you're going to court when
you're
done.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, I think that's important for people to understand that. Yeah. And then, you know, would you hurt someone's feelings if you ended up having to sue them? Is another question. I mean, you know, because I've heard people
sure.
say, "Oh, I feel so bad."
Yeah.
So would
look, you buy insurance for a purpose, and this is the exact purpose. So if you get sued or somebody gets injured on your property, that's why you pay those premiums, is so that they cover these aspects that occur in your life or with your business when somebody is injured in a personal injury case or a slip and fall case or even auto accident case. I mean, we all have car insurance.
Right.
It's mandated in Pennsylvania. You got to have it. So it's important to have those things in place. And then it's the insurance carrier that's really doing, one, the negotiating, two, the defense for you if you are sued. They're providing, you know, that on your behalf. And they're also the one paying the money unless there's a judgment in excess of the insurance policy. So that's really important. And if I can just touch on one thing here, with regard to car insurance, you know, we're always buying insurance and we get these great insurance policies. You hear people with like $200, $250, $500,000 policies. Well, that's to protect somebody if you cause the accident. A lot of people don't think about, wow, what if I'm hurt in the car accident? What do I have? Well, that's uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. And that's really an important aspect for you to protect yourself if you're hurt in a car accident. So what we always recommend to our clients is make sure you have full tort. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have uninsured and underinsured coverage, because if you're injured, you know, you need something to be able to fall back on if that person that injured you doesn't have insurance or has a very nominal policy.
Okay, so the uninsured isn't to cover that poor person who didn't have insurance. It's to cover
you
if the other person didn't have
absolutely.
Insurance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, that's the one aspect of protecting yourself with car insurance that is often overlooked.
Okay. And also I have seen sometimes where people have to make sure that they're covering their value of their property properly,
sure.
like in homeowners
That's
and
right.
stuff. Now, you mentioned something, though, I want to touch on quickly, and then I want to give you a few minutes to kind of mm-hmm. summarize everything for us. In excess of the insurance. So folks could get sued. We have insurance. We
right.
think we did everything we were supposed to. And maybe I have an umbrella policy
right.
that will help cover some of the extras mm-hmm. if the car mm-hmm. insurance or the homeowner's insurance doesn't cover everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have some umbrella. Can they go? Can people sue you for beyond those amounts that
yeah.
you have insured?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, people can sue you for anything.
Okay.
It's how legitimate that claim becomes as you begin to litigate it. But the concern always is for an excess judgment that exceeds your insurance policy. So let's just use, for example, you know, you're a business owner, you have a $100,000 insurance policy, and somebody's seriously injured, you know, at your restaurant or at your business location. If the insurance carrier refuses to settle because they do not believe that the claim is worth the $100,000 or the demand that's being made by the plaintiff's counsel, at that point, I advise my business clients, you know, you better lawyer up and get your own independent counsel to make sure, because you have assets now that are on the block and you may potentially be at risk for an excess judgment. So at that point, we start negotiating pretty significantly with the insurance carrier
okay.
because they have to represent your best interests and not their interest in terms of settlement. And that takes us into a whole realm of bad yeah. faith cases and things like that. But again, as a business owner, you really need to make sure that somebody is looking out for you and what is in your best interest, because you worked hard, you created this great business, something happens, things happen. It's always bound that it's Murphy's Law. It's going to happen. So you got to have somebody there in your corner to make sure that all this that you built now is protected.
Okay. I had told you if we had time, I was going to try to get to the end with a little bit of estate planning. Bill had asked a question. Bill's spouse had passed away. Life insurance is not reportable for inheritance tax purposes or income taxes. We had discussed previously,
mm-hmm.
but what bothers me for Pennsylvania, years ago, if assets were passing to a spouse, there was a tax. Then they changed that to zero.
Right.
And I think it's so unfortunate that the Department of Revenue still makes surviving spouses file
return.
An inheritance tax
That's
return.
Right.
So, Bill, you may not have been aware of this,
right.
but if his wife had any assets either in her name alone or that she could control, like an IRA account,
Absolutely.
Even though it's zero tax transferring to a spouse, they're still requiring an inheritance tax return.
They are, and you have to go through the entire probate process and the administration of the estate to file that return.
So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, Bill, because I think so many people in Pennsylvania have an illusion that they're, you know, everything passes to spouse, which
right.
isn't always the case either if there's
That's
not
right.
a will
That's right.
intestate rules. So briefly, I know that you have do divorce work in your firm as well. You have another attorney.
That's right.
In the firm.
I have another associate that works for me, and she handles all of our family law, our domestics, our divorce cases in the office, and that has been an ever-expanding area of our practice.
I know.
You know.
Lately, it's been a little crazy.
Yeah.
So, Gladys, I'm going to give you a couple minutes we have to kind of finish up. If you just want to give kind of an overview of what we talked about mm-hmm. tonight and
sure.
the implications of it to individuals out there who might be mm-hmm. listening.
Right. You know, as I said early on, Lori, you can never look at any one client in a vacuum. I mean, we have to get to the heart of what it is that they really want to accomplish in their life, what they want to do, whether it be from a financial point of view in terms of starting a business and growing wealth and growing that business, to having children, to getting married, to how do I preserve these assets to ensure that, you know, my kids are getting them or my spouse is getting them. So it as I keep saying, is it's all aspects of your life. Things change in people's lives, and we have to ensure that we're preparing you for that, and we're giving you the right tools, and we're giving you the right documents as your life is evolving and changing, all this hard work that you're doing is really preserving all of those things for your family. you know, and for your future retirement. So it's important to get a big picture of what the client needs and ensure that we're looking at everything to protect them.
Following the threads and giving options what I like to say. We follow the threads so that you have the options.
That's right. That's
okay. Right. Gladys, thank you so much for being
here.
How do people contact you?
Well, they can reach us at the office, which is 610-391-9500, or by email, which is Gladys@SnyderWilesLaw.com. And as I mentioned earlier, our website is SnyderWilesLaw.com. You can also follow our blogs. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn.
You're doing it. Thank you so much for being
here.
I appreciate it. Folks, thanks so much for listening tonight. And listeners, thanks for calling in the questions or sending them through the website. I really appreciate it. Next week, we have attorney Judith Harris, who will join us as we discuss the new Pennsylvania power of attorney provisions and why the power of attorney might be your most important estate planning document. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. I want to thank Neil for being here. Thank Judy Ann for being here. And again, Gladys Wiles, thanks so much. Have a great week, folks.
This is WDIY Allentown. We're at 88.1 FM.